Okay, good evening, YouTube. What is going, people on YouTube? Hello, FPL managers. Welcome to another episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, I notice, despite the cardigan, we've got your Wolves colours on this evening. I'm enjoying the Wolves colours. Is that in celebration of our man there, Mr. Raul Jimenez, back on the goal-scoring train? Raul Jimenez, fantastic to see him back in scoring, not least because you had him in your team. But that aside, isn't it great to see him back scoring goals?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Really good. It was really, really good.
I mean, we've been waiting for it, haven't we? Like, and we've been saying
he's been hit and miss, hasn't he, last few weeks?
Yeah, we've been saying for a few weeks that, you know, are we going to start to see the old Jimenez back?
And yeah.
I'm not saying we saw the old Jimenez back in what was one of the more boring games of the weekend, but we did
that was
see...
the Mark Southern's Garden Centre game, wasn't it? No doubt about it this weekend.
Yeah, but we did see Jimenez scoring goals, and actually was a bit unlucky not to get something else towards the back end of that game as well.
Yes, could have easily braced in that. Could have easily braced. And to be honest with you, that was where today peaked in our house, I'm
nothing
afraid.
After
because
that.
After that,
no, nothing
we were
happened.
Trying to erase it from our
nothing
memory,
happened.
Guys.
Don't
it
know
was
what you're
a
talking about. No,
particularly bad.
No idea what you're talking about.
North London derby from a Tottenham Hotspur perspective. The what now? Yes, I
didn't
know.
Happen.
We will, guys, be dissecting, and Sam will be dissecting at some stage.
I'm off.
The North London derby. That's you done, is it? You don't want to live stream tonight because of that.
I'll stay.
But just not talk about that.
Until we talk about that, and then I'll leave.
All right, okay. Well, listen, look, lots of good games, not just the North London derby, lots of good games to get through from this weekend. And I have to say, and you guys know it, I was fairly critical of some of the games last season. I didn't think it had quite the pizzazz, the Premier League, that it had last year. This season, I'm loving it being back. There were some cracking games at the weekend, not least Brentford-Liverpool, which we'll talk about a bit later on, which is really good. But even the City and Chelsea game... which you could forgive, you might say, okay, it was only 1-0, Lee, it's a tight game, but it was a game of tactics, it was a game of tension, there was just something in the air about that game that I loved, and Man City come out with a win to put, frankly, a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons. I was not expecting them to go and beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, but more on that game a bit later on. And guys, of course, we'll be talking about our teams, my team, your team, after what was quite frankly a disaster last week. It was a disaster. And we came on here this time last week. We both played the wild card and it was horrendous. Well, I'm happy to say, guys, it's a little bit better this week. It's not amazing, but it's better. And to be honest, it couldn't have got much worse than last week.
I mean, it feels amazing.
You got an amazing score, have you?
No.
Okay, all right, okay. Just compared to last week, it feels amazing.
Everything feels amazing in comparison to last week. The arrow is green.
The arrows are green. Last week, the arrows were very red. They were crimson
red. The biggest red I've ever had. It was the biggest FPL red I have ever had.
Ever?
Ever.
After playing your wild card?
Yeah. No, just ever. I've never had... I went back. I have never had... I don't think in my... Because I obviously, for the last... Well, definitely
good.
Since FPL Family, because obviously you have my notebooks. I've wrote... Right, they always have the arrows and how bad they are written in them.
Yeah.
This was the bad. Worst red arrow I have ever had since we've been doing FPL Family. Not just the worst, it was like... Because it was something like 600 and something odd K that I dropped.
Yeah.
Which was more than double any other terrible week I've had.
But...
Awful.
But, Sam, let's... Let's push the negativity to one side. Let's bring the positivity in. Because this man here, Mr. Raul Jimenez, and a certain Mr. Semedo at the back, and if you had the goalkeeper, Saar from Wolves,
what a
haul that was. Top player overall for BPS this game week with 51. Jose
Six
Saar.
Saves,
so good. He got
the
an assist,
she
didn't he?
Yeah. Assisted him, yeah.
Is that? If you had Jose Saar, guys, get in the comments below. I want to know
Unless
if you had... Him. The Wolves stopper. And I think I did see a comment just as we were coming on from Azzy, long-term viewer and supporter of the channel. Hey, Azzy, how are you doing? I think he benched Jose Saar. That is going to hurt. That is a painful one, Azzy. No doubt about it. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. We've got Sanjay Patel. How are you in?
Well, I imagine that he's in via the internet.
How are you in? Through the wonders of the World Wide Web, Lee. Yes. Sanjay Patel, lovely to see you in the live chat tonight. Please don't mention Spurs.
We won't.
He
I promise.
Or her says so. He or she says so. We will get to that, but
no,
it will
won't.
Be brief. I suggest it'll probably be brief. Matthew Rigby, how are we doing, Matthew?
Talk.
Very nice to see you. But I prefer not to speak. Yeah, I prefer not to speak about Spurs. Josh is in. FPL Telling is in and moderating. Hey, Josh, very nice to see you. Brian Springer is here. Brian, who's in every single week. Hey, Brian, very nice to see you. Tom Connolly, I had Sarr, 74 points this week. Top 6K now, Tom. That deserves a round of applause, mate. Very, very good indeed. Duncan Crawford, one of our long-term patron supporters, is here. Hey, Duncan, very nice to see you. As is Liam Healy. Ditto, Liam Healy. How are you doing, Liam? Doodle is here. Droodle, I should say. Primer HW is here. Good evening, he says, in a throwback to the old... who was that guy? Unai Emery. To the old Unai Emery days. Well, the Arsenal fans not missing Unai Emery today, despite Mr. Arteta getting a bit of stick early on this season and the whole trusting the process coming out.
I thought we weren't talking about that.
Feels like Arsenal fans are starting to believe in the process. Three back-to-back
wins. I've got to change these as well, didn't I? I've just had to chuck them out.
All right, we've been in those,
aren't we? Simicast doesn't need to be up there this week. He didn't
is that Simicast up there?
He was up there. Yeah, Vardy, with his own goal, was up there.
They got a brace though, Vardy.
Yeah, but he's got an own goal. He's got a
brace. We are overlooking Jamie Vardy, I think. Two goals. There. Is he top scorer now? Must be.
Benrahma was the other one. Who, Vardy?
Got to be top scorer now, hasn't he, Jamie?
I have no idea.
I would have thought so.
I don't pay much attention to what Vardy's doing.
Yeah. Well, perhaps we should, Sam. Perhaps we should.
How are you going to afford him?
Aaron Chen. Hey, Sam and Lee. Hey, Aaron.
Hey,
very
Aaron.
Nice to see you, mate. Rob Spate is in at Sarr and the Vardy party for me this week. There you go. So Rob's got, okay, Sarr, but he's got Vardy as well. We are overlooking this guy, I'm sure, right? Third for overall BPS with 44 so far this week. Despite the own goal, the brace absolutely propping
but how
up
did you feel
the FPL points.
When because he got the own goal first, didn't
he? Well, he took the own goal very well. It was a lovely header, wasn't it? It was a glancing header at the near post, Jamie Vardy. Yeah. He just got into striker mentality. He saw the corner come in. He just thought, "Bot, going to get my head on this." He just guided it past Schmeichel. It was sensational. Kingdom FC, very nice to see you. Jason Correz is here. Jason, very nice to see you. Kazi Haider benched Jose Sarr. Ooh, but lucky.
Who's everyone playing instead?
Well, Kaiser Haider played Begovic, who didn't play. So Sarr is coming off the bench for a 14-pointer. Absolutely loving that.
Begovic.
Absolutely loving that. Cal is in. He's saying, have you heard the new forward, Harry Kane, going to be 4.5 in FPL next season? That is
way
a bit
too expensive.
Harsh,
don't bother.
Cal. But, oh, too expensive, Sam says. Oh, how the tide has turned for Mr. Harry Kane. How the empathy has drained
this
out of these Spurs fans. Goodness me.
I thought we said we weren't talking about it. And so far, with every comment, you've gone back there.
Well, I have to say, Sam, at least 50% of the live chat comments are, I would like to hear Sam's opinion on the North London Derby.
Good
I'd
luck.
Like to hear Sam's opinion on Nuno. Would like to hear Sam's opinion. So the guys are here for your opinion, Sam. I'm afraid they want to hear it.
Nothing.
I have nothing to say. I prefer not to speak.
I have nothing. I literally don't know what to say. I have nothing.
Cyberdebt is in. Hey, Cy, who joined our Patreon this week. Cy, very nice to see you, mate. Welcome to the Patreon. And we've got Helen Buttersworth in as well. Hey, Helen, very nice to see you in the live chat as well as the Slack earlier today. Azzy is here. He of benching Sarr fame, unfortunately.
Who's he got involved?
Azzy, who did you play, mate? Did you get? Have you got Sanchez? Maybe Sanchez just... Maybe just tweaks a little hammy or something in the warm-up. You never know.
Oh, why?
Well, I want Azzy to get the points. That's tough going.
I want my arrow to stay green, Frank.
That's true.
The Sanchez clean sheet.
We do need the Sanchez clean sheet coming in. Henry Sampson is in. We've got FPL Grand DT, Dave P, Bin Boy Dan, and all sorts of you guys in this
Bin
evening,
Boy
guys.
Dan.
Bin Boy Dan is
Brilliant.
In. Interesting question. How do you feel about a cheeky Rafinha captain game week 7? Well, listen, we'll talk about Leeds as well as all the other games, or a selection of the games, guys, as we go through the live stream tonight.
Yeah, not all.
Rafinha, very, very good. Very impressed with him. Not all, yeah. Maybe we'll just ignore today's games. Let's get into the game week results time. So here we go. Let's start talking about the game week as it was. And what I would like to do is start with a game that I thoroughly enjoyed, despite us not getting the points, all 3 points. Brentford 3, Liverpool 3.
Sorry,
I'll give my... You are on the fidget.
I wasn't comfortable. And every time I lean back on this chair, for some reason the chair is touching the wall. And
right.
Now it's banging on the frame and it's making this weird noise. It's really annoying.
Okay, and the cushion you're holding is also bashing the microphone every 2 seconds. So the listeners are getting a bit of a every 2 seconds.
Sorry.
So if you could sit still, Dan,
that'd
be great. That'd be really, really good.
I'm not comfy.
Si is in with the super chat. Hey, Si, before we start talking about Brentford versus Liverpool. Well, hello there, good people,
Si
says. Hello there. So glad I left 16 points on the bench so far. What a plank, he says. Sigh, it happens to the best of us, mate.
What a plank.
Go back
Did
and watch.
Did you see my team last year, Sigh?
Go back and watch the live stream from last week. That was planking at its best from both of us. I've decided my three-year-old might as well pick my team. Well, sometimes in FPL, Sigh, there is a case for just letting your gut feel go with it and just going with what you feel rather than just go with what your kids think. Yeah, there is a case for that. Sam, give us your view on Brentford. The Bees absolutely buzzing at the Brentford Community Stadium at the weekend against Liverpool. 3-3. What a result for the Bees. How did you see it? What do you make of it?
It was an interesting game, this one, wasn't it? Because it
certainly was.
There was a lot of
great game.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of conversation, I think, prior to the game about, you know, well, Brentford have been really solid defensively and had no argument against that, apart from that they hadn't really been tested by a really good attacking team yet.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool turned up, having been defensively quite solid in the opening part of the season.
Quite solid.
Well, you had conceded, so, you know, not
one
perfect.
One goal in five games, but yes, okay,
not,
yes.
Not perfect, but right. So, you know, they'd been solid, Brentford had been solid, and ended up being a six-goal thriller, which I don't think any of us were necessarily anticipating. But it was a fantastic game. And what it showed is that Brentford have, you know, I think we all were talking about, you know, haven't really played anybody yet and could they keep it up? And so they came out and they properly gave it to you. Like, they weren't scared
of it.
They were fully invested in the game. Tony was excellent. Mbeumo was fantastic.
Josh is saying in the live chat, Tony, again, my boy, cannot sell now. Legend. Despite the fixtures not getting any easier for Brentford, I wonder whether the way that they approach this game is symptomatic of the way they're going to approach the next four or five, right? I don't think many Brentford fans, and if we've got any, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, guys, I don't think too many Brentford fans are looking at the upcoming fixtures. And what we'll do is, I do just want to have a quick look at the upcoming fixtures for Brentford, because there will be people looking at them now after this performance. As I suggested, doesn't get any easier for them. There they are, West Ham away, Chelsea, Leicester, Burnley and Norwich. So the next three in particular look tough for Brentford.
But equally, what have they got to lose?
Well, like, this
that's
is it.
What they took with that Liverpool game, I think.
Well, this is it. If they're going into those games with this mentality, which is, we've got nothing to lose, we're going to throw caution to the wind and we're going to be brave with our football. And they spotted a couple of weaknesses in Liverpool, which I thought no other team has spotted. And I was really, really impressed. The fact that for two of the goals, the second and the third goal, they overloaded the back post. You notice that. Cross from open play and Trent had about three players on him and they just overloaded Trent at the back post. They got it high enough over Van Dijk, try to hit that back post and it worked for them twice. And actually, as a Liverpool fan, I was sitting there thinking, I was cursing it really, especially on the third goal, because I was like, well, we just conceded a goal like that and now we've done it again. So I was really fuming at that. But I think that brave approach from Brentford left some holes. No doubt about it, they committed men forward and it left gaps in between the midfield and the forwards. And Liverpool did exploit those.
Yes.
So there's no doubt Liverpool were going to score goals in that game. But Brentford were like, well, we're going to try and match you. And we're going to be physical. We're going to be direct. We're going to play Mbeumo even closer to Tony than we have before. So you're back four, Liverpool. Because I think if we were up against a team that's playing a back five, the three at the back might have had more of a chance of dealing with Tony and Mbeumo. But the fact we had just Matip and Van Dijk, I think they, you know, they really wanted it, Mbeumo and Tony. And I remember a comment from Tony early on in the season saying he's really excited to be in the Premier League and the defender that he wanted to test himself against was Van Dijk. So there we go. There's the rhetoric coming into the game. Was Tony was pumped for this game and he was very, very good. Are you looking at any of their FPL assets with the fixtures coming up as they are?
I don't think there's any reason not to. Like, you know, they're cheap. They're great in Asia.
Sure.
You don't have to play them in the tough fixtures, particularly with players like Tony and Mbeumo. You can bench them.
Mbeumo's like 5'5", isn't he? He's in that sort of bracket.
Yeah.
He's nice,
super
right?
cheap. And he's an out-of-position midfielder in the game, isn't he? He's listed as a midfielder. So there's what's not to like about him? I don't see a lot of issue there, particularly if you are, like I am, currently invested in both Jota and Greenwood, and I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, do I really want Greenwood anymore? It's a bit more difficult. The conversation about Jota is a bit more interesting now that he's scored. But with Greenwood, I'm kind of looking at him thinking, well, there's a really nice couple of million
that you could save.
That I can save.
Yeah.
For a player that I don't necessarily don't necessarily see as a downgrade at the moment.
I agree. Well, we'll talk about Liverpool in just a sec. Just a quick shout out to Janssen. He's 4.6 in the game. I noticed that he just sort of drifted into these positions where he was kind of alongside Mbeumo and Tony. And whenever they went to go for that overload, I think he got the assist for maybe the second goal. Was it the third? Can't remember. One of the goals, he got an assist where he crashed it against the bar. I think it was the second goal.
Right.
So, of course, you know, Pinnock is going to get a lot of the headlines because he scored the first goal. Unfortunately, he had to go off injured. So maybe don't have a look at him, or at least keep your eye on the updates for Pinnock. But Janssen at 4.6, absolutely strength, power, everything that you need if you're going to overload the box like that.
Did you say next West Ham next?
Yes, West Ham coming up next for them. Yeah, so difficult next three. Going to be a good matchup, that West Ham versus Brentford. There's going to be some powerful set pieces.
I don't think that's that bad a game, you know. It's a London derby. They're going to be well up for that.
Yeah,
all right. West Ham are just going to have played Europa League.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, talk to me about Liverpool then. So what are you doing with Diogo Jota? How do you feel about Diogo Jota coming out of this game? Because for the third game in a row, I feel like he should have and could have had more. There was one particularly good save from David Raya. I think Liverpool were 1-1. Curtis Jones smashed it against the post and Raya got up so quickly to make the save from Jota. So again, here we are with another game week. Jota owners, were you a bit unlucky? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm happy with the goal to get the header from the first goal, but probably should have had more Jota. But now Firmino's coming back. So how do you feel about it?
But it's difficult as well, isn't it? Because obviously next up, it's Man City, who we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a minute, had a very good game against Chelsea. I don't know how I feel about three Liverpool players going into that Man City game. And I don't know how I feel about the Bobby Firmino factor. I mean, what's interesting for me is that he didn't take Jota off when he put Firmino on in that Brentford game.
Yeah.
Which is what I was expecting. When I saw Bobby was coming on, I was like, oh, that's Jota going off there.
Well, I think I could see him doing it because Brentford were not playing through the midfield.
No.
They were going direct to Mbeumo and Tony. So we actually didn't need three midfielders in there. So what Klopp decided to do was, okay, well, I'll sacrifice one of them, and I think it was Curtis Jones, and I'll put in another attacker because I need to go and get this game. Because Brentford were not moving through the areas of the pitch. They were just whoop straight over to Tony and then Mbeumo.
Yeah.
So I think Klopp was right to do that, but I don't think that we're going to see those four playing that regularly because a lot of the teams that play in the Premier League obviously don't go quite so direct. Let's have a look at the fixtures for Liverpool coming up. It's obviously the City game next, which is not too bad. Watford away, which is a game I'm going to. I'm looking forward to that game. Then it's United away at Old Trafford, which is always going to be huge. Brighton and West Ham. So they are second bottom on the ticker there, Liverpool. It's not looking all that green for them. Some tricky looking fixtures. Even Watford away is a tricky looking fixture. So with Jota and Firmino and this kind of rotation threat now about him, are you looking to sell? How do you feel?
The thing is with Jota, the last couple of games I've watched him and thought, have I not got more out of you? I don't feel like... I don't know. I don't have a real urge to sell him.
No.
And maybe that's because I've got other things to do. But I still don't feel like Jota's a priority sell right now because Bobby's going to be eased back in, let's be frank. He's not going to suddenly play him for 90 minutes. If he comes on and starts a game, he'll probably get 60 minutes and that means Jota's going to get 30 minutes. Well, Jota in 30 minutes can be potent.
Yeah.
But it's more likely probably to be the other way around for a couple of weeks. Okay. So I'm kind of tempted to hold him for now.
Okay, very good. ZK, thank you for the super chat. He is saying, glad to have finally caught this live, albeit late to the stream. Nice to have you along, ZK. I haven't missed an update on what colour North London is tonight, have I? No, you haven't,
it's
ZK.
It's white, always white.
We will be talking about that.
Because Arsenal don't belong in North London.
A bit later on.
South London.
A lot of people in the live chat saying it's J for Jota. Yes, we know, but I'm so used to saying Jota. Get over it. We say it every week. Brentford 3, Liverpool 3. Let's move on to Chelsea 0, Manchester City 1, which, again, was not all blood and thunder in the same way that Brentford versus Liverpool was.
No.
But tactically, a really good game.
Yeah.
Really intriguing game. And actually, a result that I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting City to go there and win that game. I thought Chelsea might... Well, I thought they were going to get the 3 points, actually. If not, take the draw. How do you feel about this result? Given that, and we'll show them, because these have been well documented over the last two live streams.
There they are.
The Chelsea fixtures look sensational from now on. Southampton, Brentford, Norwich, Newcastle and Burnley. And I think even if you were to move the ticker on a couple of fixtures, it still looks really good for Chelsea. So as the live stream title says, as the live stream thumbnail says, we are looking to get all aboard the Chelsea train. And I have probably a decision to make with Reece James. More on that in a bit. But what are you thinking about Chelsea going forward into those fixtures? Bit of a bad result for them, but do you expect them to bounce back now?
Oh, 100%. I mean, this is just one of those things, isn't it? You know, Tuca will take that. He will work on that in midweek. And going into this nice run of fixtures, Chelsea will see that this period of time as an opportunity to win every single week, build up their points total, get themselves above Brighton in the league, potentially
incredibly
after tomorrow night.
Could be top of the league, couldn't they, if they win tomorrow night?
Imagine if we go into game week 7 and Brighton are top of the league.
What a time to be alive as a Seagulls fan. Oh, Breachy will be loving it. No
just
doubt about it.
I have to do a Q&A with Az as well, won't I? Az
is in dreamland.
We'll have lost to Arsenal and he'll be top of the league. It'll be an absolute nightmare.
So if you had to pick three Chelsea right now, because a lot of people that, whether you're wildcarding or not this week, but certainly if you are, I think you're going to be looking at three Chelsea players with that fixture run. I think you have to, don't you?
Yes. I think,
There was a hesitation there, maybe not.
After this result, there's a little bit of a hesitation, and not the result. My hesitation is that I think there's Lukaku, yeah. Oh,
no, it's all right. No, the screen's just gone a bit funny, that's all right.
Lukaku, yes, absolutely. The midfielders I still struggle with. I still struggle with how do you pick someone in midfield, because obviously Mount has had this injury that's kept him out this weekend, but apparently it is only minor, and if they'd have played on Sunday, it would probably have been okay. So let's see what happens there. So then you're into the defence, and then obviously with what's happened with Reece James, then the question comes as to, well, who do you go with? Because you go Rudiger, fine. You could go Alonso alongside, also, I think, fine. But you still do have Chilwell chipping away in the background as being somewhat slightly concerning.
What's the initial news on Reece James? Is there any initial kind of diagnosis, or is it, you know, we've got to wait for a scan? Is it one of those sort of injuries?
Yeah, I mean, he said he sprained his ankle, but then that can mean one of two things. If it's a minor sprain, it could be a couple of weeks.
I don't like ankle injuries. Ankle injuries are not a few days. That's the problem.
And the reality is that he tried to play on and it didn't happen. So that worries you even more then, because I don't know. I think for me, when I was reading one of the medical things about sprained ankles, they were saying it's more likely to be around 6 weeks. Now, if that's the case, that's absolutely a nightmare, because this basically takes out all of this nice run of fixtures that they have.
Yeah.
So then you've got to think about, well, who would potentially play there? So maybe Aspilicueta is a good option alongside Rudiger. Potentially, you could go with.
Well, who's going to replace Reece James in that wing back role? Because you've got to think that in these games, and this is the reason I bought Reece James in on my wild card. These games that Chelsea have got coming up, these are not a sit and conserve in the way that they try to get something out of this Man City game. He is going to play those wing backs. They are going to be going on with careless abandon, aren't they?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And whoever plays on, that's why I think Alonso is a great pick, by the way. And if anyone's considering Alonso, yes, I understand the threat from Chilwell, but Alonso has done nothing to suggest that he shouldn't be the flying wing back in that team. And he was playing second striker sometimes, maybe not so much in this City game, but certainly in previous weeks. He is right up there with Lukaku. So okay, I like Alonso, but who is going to play on right wing? I think it's got to be either Aspilicueta, or it's going to be Callum Hudson-Odoi, isn't it? In that sort of kind of false wing-back role that he doesn't like. But then again, in FPL, he's a midfielder. So you're probably not going to go for him.
No, I don't think you can. So I think if you don't... And this is why I paused slightly about the treble up. Because the double up, I think, is easy. You go Lukaku and you go Rudiger, or you go Alonso if you want a slight more risk. Don't think it's that much more risk, but if you want a slightly bit more risk. But to pick three is hard, because the midfielders aren't really doing it at the moment. They're not really.
There's a lot of love for Kovacic, by the way, but I'm not feeling that. He is playing exceptionally well, by the way. Playing very, very well, particularly previous game week. I thought he was great. Don't fancy him so much in FPL. I know he's getting forward into some reasonable positions. But actually, this game here, the Man City game, I thought, if anything, showed how much Chelsea miss Mason Mount. I know that he's not been pulling up any trees in FPL, but for this run coming up, surely this game, if anything, that's the bit that they struggled with. They struggled to transition from midfield to forward, I thought, because Lukaku wasn't getting the service in the same way that it has in previous games. It was coming from out wide, and it was coming from the word players, but there was no transition through to the forwards. And I think Mason Mount is absolutely integral to that. Frank Lampard could see it, and so is Thomas Tuchel seeing it now. He was a big miss for them, Mason Mount, at the weekend. And if he comes back in, which I think we're expecting, Chelsea fans, tell me if you think Mount's out for longer.
No, Tuchel said if we'd have played on Sunday, he probably would have been okay, but because it was Saturday, can't risk it.
Yeah, so Mount's going to come back in, you'd think, and therefore, you know, the Lukaku's is obviously still a really good pick.
But then, of course, we've also got the fact to factor in midweek action this week for Chelsea.
Yes.
So it's hard to move now because you want to see what happens with these players. Because if Mount has got something underlying and it's just been more time needed, then it should be fine. But let's see how we go. I think they're Wednesday. Are they Wednesday?
Yeah, that's it's good, I think, from a... If you're owning Luke Shaw, we'll talk about him in a sec, or you've got Reece James, or both in my case. It's good that we have European fixtures this week because we should get a bit more of an update from the managers between now and next weekend. I personally think I am not a Ben Dinnery. I am not an ankle expert in any stretch of the imagination, although I have had some ankle...
You do know how to hurt it.
I have had some ankle injuries from my footballing... I was going to say career. It really is not a career. From my footballing times over the years.
Career.
It's not a career. From five-a-siding every now and again. And the ankle injury, it's not a good one. And Reece James, I think, is probably going to be out for 3 to 4 to 5 weeks, I suspect. But let's see.
But he recovers quicker than you. It's been about five years since you did it.
He will absolutely recover more than me because he's younger, fitter, and got better medics than I have, frankly.
Excuse me, what are you saying about my nursing skills?
It's more to do with how old I am. So Chelsea, Man City. Chelsea, I think, yes, I think you still go for the treble up. Nothing to be too concerned about there, unless you're a Reece James owner, in which case I'm probably going to switch to Azpilicueta. It's probably the switch I'm going to do. Then I'm going to have Lukaku, Azpilicueta. I might go a third. And I'm with you. I was just a little bit hesitant on that third, simply because I fancy if I was going to go for the third, it would probably be Rudiger or somebody else in that Chelsea defence. However, I think there's some really nice options now at Manchester City. Talk to me about João Cancelo. 12-pointer this weekend. 6.1. I think he's going up tonight to 6.2. And you can see why. Fourth for BPS overall this game week with 40. The underlying stats look very, very good indeed. He was top for passes completed this week. Only Rodri and Robertson could get even close to him. He was up there in the 80s, João Cancelo. And in terms of touches in the opponent's half, he was second. Trent Alexander-Arnold first, João Cancelo second, and actually Robertson third. So there we go. There's all the flying fullbacks having touches in the opposition third. João Cancelo getting forward into those positions that we loved him for last season. Is he suddenly looking very much like good value at 6.2?
Well, the fixtures after Liverpool look quite nice, don't they, for Manchester City?
Let's have a look.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Is this after Manchester City, they can't play themselves. After Liverpool.
Liverpool, yeah. Burnley, Brighton, Palace, and then the big one, Manchester Derby.
So I think the Liverpool game slightly tampers my desires for a Man City player, or simply because I'm going into that game already with Trent, as it stands, with the three Liverpool players. Do I really want to add another to the mix
from that game?
It's a lot. If that Liverpool game didn't exist, I would 100% be going for a Man City defender this week. I don't think it has to be Cancelo because I do like Diaz as well. He's not going to get the same level of attacking threat, but he is solid and he was up there a couple of times at the weekend.
Absolutely, it wasn't
like he's got no attacking threat, so I think the pair of them look like decent options.
And Henry Sampson, by the way, good catch. I said that he could be going up to 6.2 tonight. I've missed that. He went up last night to 6.2, so if you want him, he's going to cost you even more. And FPL Tips, hey Harry, very nice to see you. Tips is in. He's saying the Cancelo rotation risk is a myth. He started every Prem and every Champions League game so far. So there's definitely
an
element of trust that Pep's got in him than he didn't have last season.
Way more stable this season than he was ever before. Before we did see him. And I don't think we ever thought that he was a massive risk in terms of like he was going to miss every game. But, oh, there's a daddy long legs in here again.
Oh, well, we'll get him in a minute.
But I think what we kind of thought is maybe in one in every seven, maybe one in every six. But this year, we don't really seem to be getting that. And now it might be to do with the fixtures that Manchester City have had. They've had tough fixtures to start the season. Maybe he's gone best team in. Maybe we might see a bit of rotation around those easier fixtures. But I agree with you, Harry. I don't think that there is as much to be said about rotation in the back. Pep is much more stable with that back line than he is anywhere else. Okay.
And if money's a bit of a problem, has Laporte got that spot locked down now with Diaz? Is Stones out of the picture then? Is that what we're saying? It feels as if that's the case, doesn't it?
It feels like it. Feels like he's going back to trusting Laporte again after a bit of a blippy season for him last year.
Sure, we can't forget that Laporte, you know, a couple of seasons ago was absolutely crucial. He's fantastic. And of course, he's got that left foot, that left-sided part of him that Pep absolutely loves. So, yeah, I think Laporte, if you want to save a bit of money, I think you're okay to. But for me, Cancelo looks really, really good. Do you want to grab him?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Grab him. It's because we have the window open here because it gets really hot. Did I get him?
No, he's up there, look.
Oh, God, this is getting annoying, Sam. You every week having to get this bug out of here.
It's because you keep opening the windows.
Well, I have to because it gets hot.
Oh, now the... Oh, God. Guys, sorry about this. Oh, Lord. Lee's going to pull the light down.
What do you think of Ferran Torres? Can you talk about Ferran Torres? That was going to be my next question.
You can't. Oh, he's got it.
You talk about him while I do this.
I've locked the front door as well.
That's okay, don't worry.
The Ferran Torres, I don't think you can own Ferran Torres anymore. The guys are all just laughing in the Slack now, in the chat now.
Every week.
Because you've opened the windows every week.
It gets hot in here. I'm sitting right next to the laptop.
You need to get some air conditioning.
Good luck.
I don't think you can own Ferran Torres. You still own him, don't you?
I do still have him, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
what are you going to do with him?
Well, I don't know. I just think with the Liverpool game that's coming up. Hold on, let me just move this back. I don't think he's going to start the Liverpool game, you know. I think Pep's going to go similar to he did against Chelsea and try and keep it tight.
Play Torres in the Champions League, won't he?
I think so, yeah, I think so. But the thing is, if you look at the Man City fixtures after that, they don't look too bad for a few weeks. Let me go back into here and look again at the Man City fixtures. It's Burnley, Brighton and Crystal Palace. So the next three are the sort of games from game week 8 where Torres might actually get a bit of game time and a few starts. So I'm... Half of me wants to flog him because he's now not in the team and maybe that boat sailed. But half of me wants to maybe just keep him for them three and then make a decision in game week 11 just before the Manchester derby. If you were an owner of Torres, what would you be doing?
Crying.
Okay, but you'd be selling, right?
I think I would sell, yeah. Okay. I just think that because there's so many players that are cheaper than him, that are performing and are regularly playing, I wouldn't feel comfortable still owning...
Okay.
Torres.
All right. And shout out for Grealish as well. Grealish, again, you know, 100 million quid, high expectations going to Man City. Again, not putting up any trees from an FPL perspective yet, but did get into good positions at the weekend and had a couple of shots, I think, either saved or just wide. So I think I can feel it coming for Grealish. I can feel something coming for Grealish. And that block of three fixtures, don't get me wrong, I would not be transferring him in ahead of getting to Anfield necessarily. But the three after that, I think Grealish looks like a reasonable differential. If you can consider him a differential.
He was unlucky this weekend, I thought. Yeah. He had some good movements and some good places.
Cool. All right. Let's go to... obviously, I enjoyed the Brentford versus Liverpool game. But another game that I thought was absolutely bonkers. And I heard James from Planet FPL say it on his podcast last week. You can't miss a Leeds game, can you? There is every week I will look at when Leeds is on and I will try my best to watch it if it's on TV. They are so entertaining. It is so open, Leeds games. It's absolutely ridiculous. Just do a quick super chat from Cy Burdett. Thank you, Cy, for the super chat. My daughter said, "Do you want to eat my bogey, Daddy?" When I asked who she thought I should replace James with, her transfer advice is legendary. Thank you for that, Cy. Much appreciated. I'd be interested to know who she did suggest rather than the question. Leeds versus West Ham, though, Sam. What are we saying about this game? A goal for Rafinha, who was fantastic on the day, by the way. Could have had more. And a last-minute, wonderfully taken goal from Antonio. What a goal. I mean, Shackleton, I know he's a youngster, but he's got to retire now, unfortunately, Shackleton, because Antonio absolutely rinsed him with that touch and then slotted it past Melia, who also had a really good game, the Leeds keeper. What was your view on the game? How did you see that one playing out?
The difficulty I have with this is that... So let's start with Leeds. You're right, they're always entertaining, but you just don't know what you're going to get, do you? Like, the reality is, at the end of that game, Bielsa was talking about how Rafinha's basically... What did he say? He said something really weird about Rafinha, didn't he? Basically saying, yeah, well, he's not really fit, but I've got to play him anyway. I'm just going to play him. And
well, without Patrick Bamford, I think he's got a problem, Bielsa, isn't he? Yeah. He needs a danger man, and he's the danger man. I mean, Rodrigo's in there, but I don't see him as much of a threat, whereas Rafinha absolutely was a threat at the weekend without Bamford being there. So one of the two of them's got to play.
Yeah.
And despite Rafinha having a bit of a flag coming into the game week, maybe a bit of a hip injury.
Yeah.
And we've got to keep an eye on that, I think, us Rafinha owners.
70 minutes again?
70 minutes. I think we've got to keep an eye on that, us Rafinha owners, as to whether he's going to be fully fit now for next weekend. But if he is, he looks great, doesn't he? He's in great form.
He is on great form. He does look good. It does worry me. When players are playing with an injury that they are kind of carrying, it's a concern, because it only takes one bad tackle, one wrongly placed foot, one slip, and they're out for longer than they maybe would have done if they just had a couple of weeks out with rest. And
sure.
It worries me a little bit. I was concerned, actually, about what Leeds would be like without Bamford. Got to be honest, I was a bit...
Okay.
With what they would do, particularly if they hadn't have had Rafinha as well. I think they would have been in real trouble. But Rafinha's great if you want to go there. I just don't think there's anyone else in that Leeds team you can touch.
Well, they are now the team that has shipped the most shots on goal, I think, Leeds.
What, more than us?
There's, I don't know after today, actually. That's a good point. I think I read that this morning, so that was pre-North London derby. But Leeds, they are pretty bad at giving up shots.
Yes.
So if they were to come up against a team that likes to take shots, that would be a problem. And Antonio obviously likes to take a shot. Did you think it was a red card for Antonio?
I mean, I'll take the points, but couldn't it? On another day, a different ref could have given it.
A different ref, maybe. I think it would have been harsh if it was a red, to be honest with you. He did lead with his arm. He caught Melia with his arm. Have you seen him given?
You've seen him given.
Maybe. But
you have seen him given.
It probably was a yellow, to be honest with you. But again, absolute powerhouse of a performance. So good from Antonio. So, so good. And what a start to the season he's had. So good. And Aaron Chen, thank you for the super chat. Antonio now a reliable captaincy option. Yes, absolutely.
Well, we talked about him, didn't we? We talked about him last week as a captaincy option. And both of us, I think, did you vice him as well?
I did vice captain him, and I was very close to captaining him,
Yeah, because you really thought about it. The only reason I didn't is because the FPL brain that I have, what's left of it, always says if you're choosing between a midfielder and a forward, you go with the midfielder because of the additional points. So if it's a really close call and you can't choose. And that's, to be honest, where I was with Salah and Antonio this week. I was very torn. But because Salah gets the clean sheet point if they keep one, and he gets the extra point for goals and assists, I was like, right, well, I'm going to go with Salah then. But I think Antonio is absolutely a viable captain. The one thing, again, that pisses me off is, of course, we've got Europa League for them this week. So again, I feel like it's another player that I'm watching carefully, make sure he makes it through, because we know what he'd be like. But yeah, I absolutely think he's a viable captain option.
All right, let's have a look at the fixtures for West Ham. Are there any fixtures here where you would be captaining him? Well, we've got the game that we mentioned earlier on, West Ham versus Brentford at the London Stadium, or the West Ham at the Olympic Stadium. That is going to be such a great battle, I think, between those two very physical sides. Then they go away to Goodison. It's Spurs, which we'll talk about those guys and how they're playing in a minute. Aston Villa away, and then Liverpool at home for West Ham. So the fixtures don't look too bad
but
for the Hammers.
But look at the Chelsea ones.
For sure, but we're talking about West Ham.
Yeah, but we're talking about captaining Antonio.
Oh, I see, okay.
So yes, the fixtures look nice, but equally, you've got another powerhouse at Chelsea in Lukaku, and the fixtures look arguably nicer.
Yeah, but you're not replacing one with the other. I think
Aaron's saying, well, who would you captain? Which is he a viable captain?
Okay.
I think he is if you don't have Lukaku. But if you have Lukaku, you surely captain Lukaku.
Okay.
No?
I think I would agree. Although, Antonio, if you want a differential captaincy option when everyone's going perma-captain Lukaku for the next five to six weeks, he's one to look at. He's in such good form. Absolutely sensational form. No doubt about it. I want to talk about Manchester United 0, Aston Villa 1.
Hello, this was interesting.
Was this Villa being really good, or was this United being really bad? What was your gut feel on it?
I don't... I think Man United were pretty poor.
Yes, they were poor. No doubt about it.
I didn't think Aston Villa were that brilliant. I thought Aston Villa were fine.
Yeah.
But not brilliant.
Yeah. Does Ronaldo take penalties from now
on? Oh, God, well. I thought we had... When the guys in the Slack were going mental, it was hilarious. When the goal penalty got given... And we both sat there and we were like, well, surely it's Ronaldo. And then it was Bruno. And we were like, oh, it's Bruno. It's on pens.
He ain't anymore, I'm telling you.
He can't be now, can he?
He's absolutely not.
He's literally hit it out of Old Trafford. He can't. And then Emi Martinez danced.
If you're a Ronaldo owner and you were worried about him not being on penalties and Bruno being on them, worry no more. He will absolutely take the next one. And you're right. The Martinez dance... To the crowd. If you've not seen this yet, guys, go and check out either the Villa TikTok or go find it on Twitter. Martinez does this little like
celebration dance.
This little like hip wiggle in front of the Stretford End. What an absolute troll. It's shocking.
But does it kill Bruno now? As
yeah,
conversation that there was about keeping Bruno, is it dead?
Yeah, probably.
Because pens are now
probably.
Definitely gone.
Well,
surely.
Yeah. And I think with Bruno, his flame was fading already, which is such a shame because he's been so good for us for years and years. And by the way, United fans, let me know in the comments below and in the live chat what you think of this comment. I thought he had a fantastic game, Bruno Fernandes. A fantastic game. Top for chances created in the game week, Sam. Bruno Fernandes with 10. The next best is St Maximin with 5. Bruno had twice as many chances created as the next best FPL player this weekend. He was on fire, Bruno. Creating. However, the United attack was selfish in attack, in my opinion.
Well, Greenwood definitely was.
Greenwood is playing, unfortunately, for United, like a player that needs to prove or is trying to prove himself, right?
Yeah.
He's trying too hard because he's played fantastically well all season. All of a sudden, the big dogs come in. And now, as a young player, how does that affect your mentality?
Yeah.
Well, as a young player, that affects your mentality by you think, right, I've got to step, I've got to show that I'm as good as Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. And Greenwood is not as good as Ronaldo, right? He might be one day because he's a very talented lad, but it's unlikely because Ronaldo is one of the best players ever to play football on this planet. So it's unlikely that he's ever going to be as good, but he's trying too hard. Every time he got the ball, he was shooting. There was one in particular in the first half where all he had to do was lay it to Bruno for a tap-in, and he didn't. He got the shot away, and it was easily fielded by Martinez. Do you think that United attack is kind of reverting to... Now the Ronaldo hysteria is dying down a little bit and they've lost 3 games out of 4 in all competitions. Is it reverting a little bit to what we thought it might do, which is a bit of a disjointed collection of individuals rather than a team?
Well, the thing... Oh, when a player like Ronaldo... When a club legend arrives back at the club, it does... It's the same with Bale, right? It immediately lifts everything about the club. Even if the club didn't really need lifting at that moment, the arrival of said player lifts everybody. It makes everyone up their game. And it also just builds the... And you saw that at Old Trafford when Ronaldo first came back. It was a remarkable game. This week, Old Trafford felt a bit flat.
Yeah. Well, they just had a couple of defeats, didn't they?
And... Greenwood, like you say, was being selfish. And as a Greenwood owner, I don't so much mind him being selfish in some ways because, you know, from an FPL perspective, that's sort of what you want.
Took the most shots this week, by the way. Well, that won't surprise you. I'm just looking in the FF Scout members area right now. 8 shots this week and Antonio next best with 7, right? So,
and I don't
mind
no
that, surprise.
Right? Yeah, I don't mind that from an FPL perspective because he's getting the shots away. Something might have come of them.
But they're speculative shots. They're low XG
but
shots.
But he's not playing where he wants to play, is he? He wants to play where Ronaldo's playing. He can't play where Ronaldo's playing, so they've put him further out wide. As a result of that, he's getting chances that aren't necessarily what he would want. Or he's potentially got more of a creative role where he is, and it's an adjustment now to him... Because in game weeks 1-3, it was a shoot on sight because of where he was placed on the pitch.
Yeah.
The last few game weeks since Ronaldo's arrived, he's being asked to play a very different game. And maybe, actually, he's just not quite got that in his head yet. Is that, you know, when you get the ball here, it's okay if you don't shoot. It's okay if you pass it to someone that's in a better position than you are. it's difficult with Greenwood. I do think that when you have wholesale changes, you know, we've seen it with Manchester United, have bought some great players in this pre-season, in this window, with Varane as well, we mustn't forget about that, and of course Sancho too. There's got to be a bedding in period, and the Ronaldo hysteria was always going to get them so far. Now they've got to learn to gel and play as a team. I actually do genuinely think that Manchester United have the right players to do incredibly well this season.
Yeah.
Leave Ronaldo aside, I think they've got the right players, and just add to him that makes it even better. So I don't think there's any need to panic, but there has got to be some readjustments in how people are playing and the way they're playing on the field. And that, I'm afraid, is Ollie's job, and he's got to work that out.
Okay, all right, nice comment from Babani. Thank you, Babani, for the comment in the live chat. I missed this comment, by the way. So apparently Solskjaer was saying in the post-match or after the game, he said, Bruno has been excellent. He's been such a good penalty taker. And today, you'd back him with your mortgage. He'll step forward every day of the week for the club and for the team. So is that Ollie backing his man
there?
Is that Ollie saying he will take the next one?
What did he say? You back him every day?
He'll step forward every day of the week for the club and for the team.
Well, he will.
That's Ollie giving him his backing then.
But Ronaldo's not going to let him.
You wouldn't have thought so, wouldn't you have thought
Ronaldo,
so?
There's going to be an incident like he had at Everton. Ronaldo will be there with the ball.
If you were a Ronaldo owner, would you sell for Lukaku now?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I would.
You would?
Yeah, I think
okay.
I would.
Okay, we'd love to know what you guys are doing. If you're a Ronaldo owner, and I know there's a lot of you out there, get in the comments, what would you do? Are you going to try and bring Lukaku in as well? Are you ignoring Big Rom? Or are you sticking with CR7? I'd love to know in the comments, guys, what you are doing with the Ronaldo and Lukaku conundrum. Now that we are here, we are in, looking forward to game week 7, which was and is the fixtures turning. This is the big week when we were like, okay, Ronaldo hysteria is over. We're going all in on Lukaku. And I don't know whether people are going to do that now after a couple of blanks from Big Rom. Nevertheless, an XG of 2.32 for Manchester United in this game, which was pretty good. An XG of 1.1 only for Aston Villa, but that's all they needed. They got the goal. Who else were you impressed with from that Aston Villa side? In particular, I'd like your opinion on Target and Cash. Because I thought both of those guys were very, very good at wing-back and getting forward and putting balls across the box.
The thing is with Aston Villa, the fundamental to me when you're investing in any defender is that they've got potential for clean sheets. And with a guy like Martinez between the sticks, there is always potential for a clean sheet because we've seen what he can do in terms of the amount of save points he can get. When you then add the fact that these two are wing-backs, and we saw last season that the Aston Villa defence, they got multiple goals and assists between them. It wasn't just like the odd one here or there.
Yeah.
They all got at least a couple of attacking returns over the course of the season. So we, a few weeks ago, were like, game week 3, all off Villa, all off, fixtures turn, get off. There's definitely a conversation to be had here because they're not doing as bad as everyone was anticipating that they would do with the fixtures the way that they are.
Yeah, well, Martinez is the more expensive route in to the Aston Villa defence. He's 5-5. He does, and of course, he's going to get, as you suggested, he gets the saves and he gets the bonus, and we saw that last season. He can easily, on any given week, pull out a double-digit haul. So if you want to go up to 5.5 for a goalkeeper, not going to put you off Emi Martinez at all, but I do just want to give a shout out to Matty Cash because he did bring in a double-digit haul last week. So, okay, we can easily sit here and go, well, yeah, you're looking at him because of that. But actually, against United, he was very good again and created a couple of really big chances. One where it came all the way over to Matty Target. And Matty Target should have scored.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Target will get the headlines if he scores. But actually, the creativity of Matty Cash. And I did a quick comparison of the two of them in the Fantasy Football Scout members area. If you're a member of Fantasy Football Scout, you can go into the members area and you can do a comparison of the stats between the two players. And if you're not a member yet, go check out the link in the description below. All the stuff that you need to be a member of Fantasy Football Scout is down there. And I did a comparison of the two. And Matty Cash wipes the floor with Target, by the way. Wipes the floor with him. Now, I think he's a little bit cheaper, Target, I think.
Yeah.
But Matty Cash is going to cost you 5.0. So I think there's a case for going for Matty Cash. Well, here's the kicker, right? Here's the kicker. So Aston Villa, next fixture is Spurs. And we're going to talk about them in just a second. Then it's Wolves at home, which looks a reasonable fixture. Then it's Arsenal away, which is looking tougher. West Ham, Southampton. So the fixtures are very middling for Aston Villa. But coming up against this Spurs side, who are top for shots conceded, top for bottom for possession. All the stats for Spurs look awful. And I'll talk about one particular stat that I thought was really telling today that Sky put on the TV. But then a home game against Wolves looks all right. So the next two for Villa don't look too bad. If you're wildcarding, maybe in 8 or 9, or you're doing that, maybe the next two don't look bad for Villa defensively. So there's those two I'd like to look at. What about my mate, Ollie Watkins, up front there? 7.3. Give another good performance up there, didn't he? Without, again, getting into the FPL points. But I feel like he's kind of bubbling. It would not surprise me to see him bag against you lot next week.
I'll put money on it.
It's going to happen, isn't it? He's going to get some returns some stage, Ollie Watkins. His underlying stats are really good.
Watkins and Ings's returns against the Big Six are really good. Like, their stats against the Big Six, if you can really count us as Big Six anymore, but they are really good. And we are obviously currently included in those stats, although the baseball. So they are really good. We saw Watkins last year actually bought some massive hauls against bigger clubs. And if Spurs don't sort their lives out, then...
could be tricky. There's going to be some pressure in that Spurs stadium next week, I can
from
tell
me.
You.
I'll throw my pie at them if they don't improve.
You're going to be there, and I will tell you now, that crowd will not be happy if after 20, 30 minutes you've not pulled your finger out of your backside and you play like you did against Arsenal.
It will be hostile.
It will be hostile, and I think Aston Villa are in a really good position to take advantage of that. Super chat from Duncan. Thank you, Duncan. Is Bamford out for long? Can do him to Rom and Jota to Dallas, but Leeds fixtures look damn good. So can just do CR7 to Rom if need be. Do we know about Bamford? How are we looking with him? Is he out for long?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know. I didn't...
keep an eye on the news, Duncan.
I didn't pay too much. I don't think it's that bad.
Okay.
I've got the feeling it's not that bad.
Well, Duncan is one of our patrons, so you can go and find out. And then
I'll
let
find out and I'll put it in the Slack. I've got the feeling it wasn't that bad. I even listened to this press conference. I can't remember. I don't think it was that bad.
All right.
But... what does he want to do? Get Dallas instead. Dallas instead of Jota, so that he can have Rom and Ron.
Yeah, can do Bamford to Romelu Lukaku and Jota to Dallas. So a bit of a downgrade on Jota to go for the two up front, CR7 and Rom.
How much is Dallas?
Oh, I don't know, Sam. 5.5. Duncan,
I'll come chat with you about this.
Duncan,
we chat.
Look out for the chat over on the Slack.
DM coming.
Arsenal 3, Spurs 1. We had a super chat earlier. That's you done, is it? Rohai, thank you for the super chat. Is Arteta back? Is Kane
back?
Worth investing?
Back from where?
Well, I can answer you the answer to the second question, Rohai, is that Kane is absolutely not worth investing at the moment. Absolutely not.
Did he ask if Kane was worth investing?
He did, yeah. He did.
No
is the answer to that. But is Arteta back? Are Arsenal back? Let's do Arsenal first. There's three wins now, back to back. After all of the rhetoric over the first four game weeks the first three game weeks, where they went away to Brentford on the first day, which is Liverpool have just figured out is a difficult place to go on the opening day, Arsenal, etc., etc. Then it was Chelsea and Man City. They had a lot of COVID issues. They had a lot of injuries.
Yep.
Are they starting to get it back together again? And should we be looking at Tierney and Ben White and Saka and Smith Rowe now? And maybe Aubameyang and players like that? Because that was a good performance there. We'll talk about Spurs' ineptitude in a minute, but Arsenal were good.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I won't take anything away from Arsenal. They had a really good performance today. There are two caveats I would put on it. Is that one, Spurs were dreadful.
Yeah.
And two, London Derby should never really be used as a basis for doing something because they are so bonkers. Like, they aren't normally reflective of normality, if that makes sense. They are always crazy. Like, they're never normal. Now, Spurs are awful, so use it as normality for them. But with Arsenal, I would just worry about going too much on Arsenal right now. But I do think there is potential for some investment. I don't think there is for Aubameyang, only because of the price that he is. He's so expensive. And we've spent a lot of this live stream talking about some cheaper options that are doing really well. And if you're going to go Aubameyang, you're going to really struggle. It's the same as I said for Vardy. You're going to really struggle to have either Romelu Lukaku or Ronaldo and Vardy and or Aubameyang and Antonio. That's going to be almost impossible to do. So I don't like the Aubameyang pick on that basis. Defensively, I don't mind the Ben White pick because he's cheap. He's really cheap. He's going to be a nice enabler from that perspective. And I think he's still 4.3. He might be 4.4 now. But he's going to... You can rotate him in and out, and you don't mind benching him in the tougher fixtures. So I do like him.
Let's have a look at the Arsenal fixtures going forward, because I think this is the reason a lot of people are getting a bit high on Arsenal at the minute, which is Brighton away, which, you know, Brighton could be top of the league by the time that kicks off. Then it's Crystal Palace at home, Villa at home, Leicester away, Watford at home. So the next five for Arsenal looking pretty blue there, and you can see why people are getting excited.
But Brighton, as you've just mentioned, Palace have got the Vieira factor to that coming into that game, and they've been good. We've just sat here and talked about Aston Villa and how good they've potentially got, or how they've been a lot better than we So yes, they are blue, but you can see defensive frailties with Arsenal. Even Spurs managed to score against them today, and we can't score against anybody. So even we put one past him today.
Okay.
So I do have some concerns, but for all of those negatives, I thought Smith Rowe was absolutely excellent today.
Yeah, he and Saka ran the show.
Really impressive. And I was listening to Tony Adams talk after the game. I don't really know why, because I think I'd just given up on life. but I was listening to him, and there was still a bit of negative rhetoric from him, and he was talking about, why is it these kids that are having to lead the way? Why aren't we seeing the big players do it? Now, I don't necessarily think that that's such a problem, because these young kids, you could see how much it meant to Saka and Smith Rowe today. You really could see how important that win was to them. I think they're both decent options because they are cheap, especially Smith Rowe. That price point that he comes in, with the fixtures that they have, there is no reason not to go Smith Rowe.
Right. Okay.
And particularly, like Duncan was asking about Dallas earlier. Mm-hmm. You'd go Smith Rowe over Dallas.
I think you would. Yes, I think you would. There's better options than Dallas in that price bucket, no doubt about it. I have to say, I agree with you to an extent, but I think they're absolutely they're a move on them now, Arsenal. They've got their...
Who are you going with then?
Well, I know what you're saying about the fact that you've got to look at the North London derby in isolation. It's not a typical game. It's difficult for both sides. But surely, if there was a shot in the arm, if there's a game that's going to give Arsenal now the confidence to go and attack the next five, that is it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They were sensational for 35 minutes, and for the rest of it, they kind of took their foot off the gas. But for 35 minutes, that's the best Arsenal played in years, never mind this season.
Yeah,
they
were fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Arsenal were... I'm not taking anything away from Arsenal's performance today. It's just that there is a hype that comes with the North London derby that, you know, maybe you won't get against Brighton in game week 7.
Mm.
There probably will be the same hype against Crystal Palace in 8 because you've got the Vieira factor at play. It's just, there are big occasions. Like Smith Rowe said in his interview after the game, something along the lines of, that's made my life, scoring against Spurs for Arsenal.
Damn right. So there's the confidence that he's going to have for the next few games.
But there's also the motivation for that game. I'm not saying that it's they won't do it again. They can do it again, but I'd be worried about going all in on Arsenal.
Okay. All right. Second for BPS this game week, Saka, who was particularly impressive. I know if you want to save a few quid, Smith Rowe looks a little bit cheaper. Well, he is a little bit cheaper, but Saka was very, very good today. I agree with you on the Aubameyang thing. If he was 9 or 10 million, if he was 9 million, I think I'd have a look, but he is too expensive. But yeah, I'm pretty sold on Arsenal. I thought they were very, very good. And at the back, you've got Ben White, of course. But if you can afford a few more pounds, Kieran Tierney at 4.9 has got that attacking potential.
Yeah, he does.
He didn't do it a lot today because, of course, Spurs on the counter attack is not a team you don't want to encourage the likes of Son on the counter attack or Lucas Moura. So I think he was a little bit more reserved. But coming up against those next five that we've just reeled out in the fixture ticker, he could absolutely get forward a bit more. And Ramsdale between the sticks as well, another start for him. So. I still don't know whether he's locked that down versus Leno, but he's starting to look as if he's Arsenal's first choice. And he enjoyed himself out there today. You could see him happy and smiling and even faking a bit of cramp halfway through the second half. Spurs then. Spurs. Go on.
What is there to say?
Well, I'll give you my opinion then while you think about it. It was a shambles.
But there's not, from an FPL perspective, you just don't. There's nothing else to say. There's nobody that you'd invest in. The only player that ever really gives 120% is Lucas Moura. And he will always give 120% because that is Lucas Moura. But defensively, they're all over the place because there's... And I said this on the FPL show last week when I dialed in. There's no consistency at the moment. And this is what's starting to annoy me about Nuno, is that every week the defence is different. The first few game weeks of the season when we actually kept clean sheets, he played the same back four each of the 3 weeks. They knew where they were. They were a unit and they were working together.
He's just paid $50 million for Romero. He's got to play him.
The last 4 weeks, we have played Romero, Sanchez, Rodon, Dyer.
Yeah.
And someone else. And Højbjerg went back there at one point. So he's played five centre-backs. He's played Royale and Tanganga. He's the only one that's been stable is Reguilón. Now, that will not work. It will never work. You have to be consistent with your... And you saw it with Liverpool last year, right? You have to have some consistency there. Then we move into the midfield where he again can't
So can we just take a breath? That defence then, that's Nuno's problem. He doesn't know his best defence. He's looking at them every single day in training and he doesn't know who his best defenders are.
Well, I think at the beginning it was because we had Tanganga suspended and Dyer injured and he had to make a change. But my big issue then is when you've made the change, you've got to stick by the change. If you're then saying that your next best player after Dyer is Romero, then play him weekly and give him the opportunity to be there. Don't rush Dyer back when he isn't ready. And today I sort of got the Tanganga thing over Royale because Tanganga is much more defensively minded. Royale is much more attack minded. And I thought, actually, in the type of game that we're going to have to play today, probably letting Reguilón go and having Tanganga stay is probably sensible.
Okay, yeah.
But then the midfield is a joke because what's been perfect and what was good for keeping consistency at Spurs, when we come from an FPL perspective to invest in the defence, was when he had Skip and Højbjerg together. Then he's benched Skip for the last two, and then he's had to bring him on at half-time and try and salvage the back line, which actually worked because Skip came on and then we were more attacking for a good half an hour of the game. Why can the rest of the planet see this and Nuno can't? And that is what's really frustrating.
Because he's still trying stuff out, isn't he, Nuno? He doesn't know his best team.
But then
you can say, OK, put Højbjerg and Skip in there. But for the first four game weeks,
you got
4-1-0s and they were pretty lucky. Fluky free kicks from Son flying past Backman who couldn't catch a cold and Dele Alli leaving his leg in for a penalty against Wolves. So what he needed to do, or what he's trying to do is, okay, one of those two's got to go. Well, it's not Højbjerg, is it?
Well,
so he's going to drop Skip and then he's going to try and be more attacking.
Absolute nonsense. You don't do that in the North London derby. It's absolute nonsense. And you could see from the moment that the game kicked off, he knew he got it wrong. You just looked at him at the camera angle and it was blatantly apparent that he knew tactically he got it wrong again, and that's three weeks on the bounce now that Nuno has got it wrong. Now I'm not saying it's all Nuno's fault, but he has got the midfield positioning totally and utterly wrong. And as for Harry Kane, the man can pack his bags and absolutely do one.
Yeah, so tell us about from an FPL perspective then.
There's
who are you looking at from Spurs? Nothing.
There's nothing to say from an FPL perspective, which is why I think it's a pointless conversation, because you just can't invest.
Alright,
let's move on.
There it is, we'll move on. Harry Kane really not
pack
covering himself
your bags, you
in glory.
Waste of space.
Really not covering himself in glory. I mean, the skip in training after not getting your move was bad enough, but this inept performances and the
again,
fact that he is the
drop him. Why has he not dropped him yet?
Well, because you can't drop Harry Kane, can you?
Of course you can.
I mean, even today he could have had a couple of goals, right?
No.
He missed a couple of chances. There's a couple of sitters actually.
Don't bother with him.
Okay.
I'll bench him.
All right, well, Mr. Levy has put himself in knots, hasn't he? Because if he doesn't play him, he's just going to regress as a player and then he's going to lose money on him.
Good.
And Kane needs to play, right?
So, send him to the 21s.
Well, you can't do that with an asset that's worth 100 million. You just can't
do it.
He's
not worth 100 million, is he now?
But fundamentally, you can... Nuno, yes, he's trying to figure out his best team, but...
Not in the North London derby. That's not when you try and sort that out.
Yeah, but there's bigger issues at your club, I think. And maybe we'll do an Ohana podcast next time. But Daniel Levy, honestly, he's ruined your club. I mean...
See, I couldn't disagree with you more. I could not disagree with you more on Levy.
Why?
Because this is not Levy's fault.
So when Pochettino wanted a new squad and backing in the transfer market, he said no and instead went and got the Amazon Prime people in and did a real... vanity hire in Jose Mourinho because he just wanted a big name there for his project and his new stadium. Then he sacked him before the final just so he didn't have to pay him so much. Went round the transfer market of managers and got the fifth best option in Nuno Espirito Santo, who's inherited the absolute guff from Jose Mourinho because he's in his third season. In what bit of that is Daniel Levy not ruining the club?
No, Daniel. So Daniel Levy's not. I don't get me wrong. I don't like Levy. There's not. I'm not. But I'm not one of the Spurs fans that thinks everything in the world is Levy's fault. In my opinion, everything that's gone wrong in the last 4 weeks, you look at the management. Because we started the season, you do not win. You do not win manager of the month for August. And then, with the same group of players, have an absolute S show for the last 4 weeks. That just cannot happen.
Okay.
Because, and it's because of what he's doing. All of this absolute BS about, oh, I've got to find out who my best team is. No, you had a whole pre-season. You know who your best team is, Nuno. Play them and stop.
All right. All right.
I'm so angry with him.
Let's move on.
This is your fault.
We'll agree.
Because you have brought this up.
We'll agree.
You didn't need to speak about it because you don't. There's no FPL assets. That's how angry I am. Let's move on.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on Mr. Levy. Anything else to say from the other games? Jamie Vardy with an own goal and a brace. So an interesting afternoon for him. But Burnley could have snatched it right at the end. Chris Wood with a disallowed goal.
Not looking
quite as Burnley as we thought Burnley this season. Right, aren't they?
I didn't see any of it, this one. So okay. I struggled to comment. But I don't know. Burnley are an interesting one, though, aren't they? Because when you look back historically, it's like I said in our deep dive in the early part of the season, when you look at Burnley from last season versus Burnley from the season before, they are like chalk and cheese. So you never really know what Burnley is going to turn up. And we seem to be seeing a different Burnley every week at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And Leicester as well. I mean, just a quick word on them because, you know, the statistic that's always reeled out about Leicester is that they've spent more time in the top four over the last couple of seasons than a lot of other sides and yeah. then slip out right at the last minute.
They're not quite right, though,
weird
are they?
Weird start to the season, isn't it?
They're not right.
There's no way you'd back them defensively at the minute, I'll tell you that much. They seem a bit all over the show at the back. At least Jamie's banging them in at the front.
They have got a lot of injuries at the back, haven't they? Like, they are missing some key players. So does it surprise you? Like, there's no key... I don't know. They've been without Evans. They've been without Fofana. They've been without James Justin. Like, they've got a lot of injuries at the back. So it doesn't really shock me that defensively they're not that stable. They are being saved by Vardy. But even the midfielders aren't really up to much at the moment, are they? Like, Harvey Barnes and Maddison, you'd be expecting more from them than you're getting.
I'm kind of surprised with Rodgers not playing Iheanacho. There must be something up there. How good was Iheanacho back end of last season?
Yeah, but
and he doesn't play him. I don't get it.
But he only played him because he had to. So he obviously rates Barnes and those guys more than he does Natch. Otherwise, he would be playing them. He only ever seems to play him when they're injured.
All right.
It's a weird one. I don't know.
Not too much else to say about that game, other than to say, I don't know how you pronounce this guy. Is it Cornet or Cornet? I don't know. that's how good my French is.
Cornet?
Let's say it's Cornet.
Can't be called Cornet.
Well, that's how you spell his name. C-O-R-N-E-T. Cornet or Cornet. I don't know. Anyway.
Was he from France?
I don't know. Anyway, brilliant strike. Absolutely brilliant strike. No doubt about it. And then let's just have a quick shout out for our man Jimenez, who is getting back on the goal scoring bus. Sensational stuff. I must admit, I called this game wrong. I thought Saints would keep the Wolves out and I went for Livramento over Semedo, as you guys will see in a minute. But this is a good game for you, right, in FPL? Jimenez and Semedo. So this gives you a good 15 pointer.
Well, yeah, it did until Semedo lost his bonus point right at the end.
Okay.
Very annoying. But yeah, I was pleased with this one. Honestly, it was one of the more boring matches that I've watched this season. I persevered with it because I had two assets in it. It was really nice to see Jimenez score again. And it did seem to give him a bit of a boost at the end. He was clearing some stuff in there, actually from the Wolves box. He was back doing some defending, putting some good headers on the ball. It was nice to see him back. Hopefully that kickstarts it now. I'm glad I held him. And I think Semedo was a bit unlucky. There were a couple of opportunities where he could have got some attacking returns in that game as well. So yeah, pleased with that one.
All right, let's have a look at the Wolves fixtures then, because we said last week they were looking good, and they still look pretty good. Newcastle, who obviously giving up a lot defensively. Aston Villa and Leeds away. So the Villa game is difficult, but Leeds should hold no fear for Wolves going into that game. Everton at home, Palace. So they look pretty good. So
Everton can't be red, surely.
If you haven't got Jimenez, is there space now to have him? Because you're going to have Lukaku, you're going to have Antonio. That third striker spot, can you afford to go up to Jimenez? I know the answer from you is yes, you can. But an average FPL player, where have you got to make that sacrifice if you're going to have those front three?
Well, I've got two 4.0 million defenders, but then I've sort of been quite happy playing just three at the back.
Okay.
I guess the other sacrifice can come in the midfield because there are some really nice options. We've spoken about a couple of them in the kind of 5.5 to 6-ish midfield bracket.
Yeah.
Even if you can go to 6.5, there's some nice options in there. So if you're prepared to sacrifice maybe the likes of Greenwood or Jota, then you can easily get Himi.
Okay, all right. Very good.
Just
all
depends
right.
if you want to sacrifice Tony, I guess.
Let's discuss our teams from the weekend then. So let's talk about yours first. Very, very good week, 55, which given, you know, a lot of scores, we've had a lot of game weeks this week where people are up in the 80s, 90s, 100s. This game week is not one of those weeks. If you're in the 50s, I would suggest that is a pretty damn good week. And you're up overall points up to 384, 855k in rank, and an overall rank change of 32.5. So tell us the tale of the tape, and in particular then, tell us where your focus is going to be in terms of transfers for next week. If you're going to think about where your weaknesses are, what are you going to change?
So obviously still got Sanchez to play in this as well.
Oh yes, tomorrow. Of course, yeah.
But otherwise, I'm quite pleased with them. Obviously, I'm not doing anything about Lukaku. He's going to stay regardless of
Absolutely.
The blank. But I'm very happy with Salah and with Gray even, because he could have had more than he did.
He's a bit unlucky just to pick up the six, wasn't he, Gray?
He was, yeah.
And so I was flip-flopping between him and Doucouré on my wild card.
Yeah.
And I just about went with Gray. So when Doucouré scored, I was gutted. And then I saw that he got the assist. I thought, okay, well, I'm not quite so upset about that. But yeah, he could have had more, Gray.
Could have and probably
playing very centrally, wasn't he, without Calvert-Lewin or Richarlison being there. I suspect that probably changes once those two come back. But for now, he's right up there with Rondon, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm happy with that for now. So Greenwood, I guess, is my kind of... And Shaw are my big fish to fry at the moment. So the plan was always to move Shaw to a Chelsea defender this week, ahead of the nice run of fixtures. That was always in the planning. Okay. So that was...
So the injury just compounds that. Rubber stamps that, okay.
Yeah. But I am going to wait, because obviously Chelsea do have Champions League in the week, and I would like some more news on Reece James, although I don't think I'm going there anyway. I think I'm going to go Rudiger. Maybe Alonso. I just know that if I bring in Alonso, he's going to get benched, and it's going to really annoy me, because that's what always happens when I own Alonso. So I'm a bit more tempted to go Rudiger. So that one's in the cards. And that will likely happen. But I've already got quite a lot of money in the bank. So the other transfer that I'm thinking about doing, because I've obviously got two, is to downgrade Greenwood and take some money out of him. And then that would give me nearly 4 million in the bank.
Shame for Greenwood, isn't it?
It is.
It's a shame for Greenwood. I've got to say, United fans, and feel free to shoot me down in the comments, but what a fantastic young player you've got there, who was in the form of his career so far up front there. And then you go and just drop in Ronaldo and just pisses all over him. I just can't understand that. He was playing so well, Greenwood, and he's just now in Ronaldo's shadow, and he's just trying too hard now. I don't know. For me, yes, I agree with you. I think if you've got him, he's probably a sell now, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, all right, here was my long-term plan, was that Luke Shaw would become a Chelsea defender. Greenwood would come down to somebody in the 5.5-ish million pound bracket.
Yeah.
That would give me around nearly 4 million in the bank, which would enable me, when the Spurs fixtures change, to take Jota back to Sun.
Okay.
Whilst keeping Lukaku. That was the plan. That's why I wanted the money in the bank, because I wanted the money for Sun. Then the last couple of game weeks have happened with Spurs, and now suddenly I don't feel quite like I want to get Sun anymore.
No, quite.
But
yeah.
I would like that flexibility of money, because, of course, I am still concerned about Antonio and his fixture swings and his hammies and everything else with the Europa League. So having nearly 4 million in the bank would make the transition from Antonio to Ronaldo doable,
okay,
which it isn't right now.
Okay, all right. Let's just, for the sake of the podcast listeners, Sam's team is Sanchez in goal, still to play. Semedo at the back with a 7, although that I think is a 6.
It's 6 now, yeah.
I think I took this screenshot before the bonus point was removed. Trent with 1, Shaw with 0, Salah captain 14, Gray 6, Jota 7, Greenwood 2, Lukaku 2, Jimenez 8, Antonio 8 for an overall game week point score of 54. So yeah, pretty good. And in terms of your key transfers, it's going to be
looking
at Shaw and Greenwood.
It'll be Chelsea defender, 100%.
Yeah. Okay,
very
good.
That's the priority. I've got two, so...
All right, so a green arrow up to 855. So still building, based on the last couple previous game weeks, particularly last game week being difficult. But
pleased with this.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is just about 400k off your rank, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty good. All right, 49 points for me this game week. Reasonably happy with that. I was pleased to get the captaincy right. I thought it would be a good game week as soon as Ronaldo blanked. I was like, okay, well, now we've got half a chance.
It was nice, actually, wasn't it, as a non-owner?
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, if you did sell a captain, I'd love to know how you feel about it. I must admit, I feel a little bit short-changed. There's not going to be too many weeks when Ronaldo blanks. So on that basis, you've got to make the most of it with your captaincy choice. And I just feel with Salah, okay, he got the goal, but
could
that was
have
it.
More, couldn't he?
Could have had more, particularly one when we were 3-2 up to make it 4-2.
Oh, yeah.
He should have scored that, no doubt about it.
We both were up.
And he had one off the line, didn't he? When at 0-0, I think, when Jota put him through, which as a Jota owner as well, that would have been brilliant for
Perfect.
Me in FPL. That one that, I can't remember who got it off the line. It was their record signing, that lad at the back, who played very, very well. But Salah, yeah, could have had way more than seven. Yeah. Could have had way more than seven. So if any of you out there are thinking of selling Salah, don't do it. Don't do it. He's absolutely flying. Even if I was a neutral, I'd be sitting here saying the same thing. I'm not. I've watched Salah a lot over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. He is absolutely in the form of his career right now. So he's a keep. And you should absolutely consider him as captain every single week. So for the podcast listeners, I've also got Sanchez in goal with a zero. But of course, he's going to play tomorrow night. Trent and James both coming in with 1 point each. Shaw with the zero. Livramento with the two. Salah captain 14. Jota 7. Rafinha 8, Gray 6, Lukaku 2, Antonio 8 for a game week points total of 49. 388 points for me, 746k, so still recovering from last week really, but a rank change of 18%, 18.68%, so reasonably happy with that, reasonable happy.
Two frees for you as well, right?
I've got two free transfers coming in to, yeah, into this week, and to be honest, I was hoping to use those transfers to be a bit more proactive with my team, to kind of attack the team and go a bit more differential. But I'm probably going to have to use them to do a James sideways move to another Chelsea defender, because there's an option I now don't have that I bought in with a bit of foresight on my wild card. And again, that just kills me, that, because
you
I was,
nearly went Antonio, didn't you?
Well, no, I was Rudiger or James. And
that's what I mean.
Of course, Antonio with Rudiger gets the points haul last week and now James is injured. I'm like, oh, so disappointing. Just didn't go my way, that one. And then Shaw, obviously, I need to look at what's going on with him as well. So
I think he said scan this week, didn't they?
Both are having scans this week, so I have to think about what those two guys are doing. And then Rafinha, still with the flag, obviously played this game week and looked actually really, really good, like he wasn't being bothered by an injury at all. But again, hauled off on 70 minutes, so I am keeping an eye on him as well. That said, apart from not playing Semedo, apart from calling that Southampton, I called that wrong, no doubt about it. I'll put my hands up to that. I thought the Saints were going to keep a clean sheet. Actually, it was Wolves that won that game. So Livramento, I played him over Semedo. That was one I got wrong, no doubt about it. But elsewhere, it's all right. I haven't got too much to worry about, except for now these defenders with injuries. Mm. And I must admit, James sideways to the other Chelsea defender looks okay. But I do have a bit of money in the bank, and I do fancy going Shaw up to Cancelo.
Oof.
I do fancy doing that. So even though we've got the Liverpool game coming up, he can still get attacking returns, Cancelo. And they've just proved that they can do the business. They are so good defensively, Man City.
Four. Five, because you've got Torres.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to consider, yeah, and I probably wouldn't be playing Torres in that game, to be honest with you. And I don't think...
bench Jota?
Well, I don't know. Possibly. Because I don't think Jota's going to play in that game. So, yeah, maybe that transfer is a bit... Maybe that's 1 week too early, I don't know. But I really fancy Cancelo. I really do think he's going to be all right. And do you know what? I do, you know, looking ahead to that game, Liverpool versus City, and I'll get your opinion on it in a sec. I think we've got a really good chance in that game at home to City as a game that we'll want to avenge from last season, because City battered us at Anfield last season.
Do you know,
it was
I find
awful.
It really hard to call, though, don't you? Because I think Chelsea went into their game thinking they had a really good chance, and then.
Well, yeah, quite possibly.
So I think this is a really difficult game to call. I'll be coming back from Spurs when this first starts, and I tell you what, if we've lost and Liverpool are losing, I'll be taking a huge detour on the way home.
Tips is saying we've missed a few Super Chats, so I'm going to go back just
Have
before we finish up. Rohide is saying lethargic from Liverpool, saying it being a fan. Well, I don't know if we were lethargic, Rohi, to be honest with you. I just thought Brentford played very, very well and got the tactics right.
Just didn't end it. That's what I would say with Liverpool.
Yeah.
I thought both sides played really well and Liverpool could have won the game if they'd have just put it to bed.
Yeah, that okay. Was it. And Rohi's back in again with another super chat. For sure, the most boring match was the Southampton versus Wolves match.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yes, it was. But from your perspective, so
I loved
very
it.
Good. You loved it from an FPL perspective. And Rohi, sorry, mate, we missed all of your super chats. Leicester are all over the place. No trust. Yeah, well, there's definitely
something wrong.
As we suggested, definitely something wrong.
Maybe we could swap managers with them.
Particularly defensively at Leicester. There's definitely something not right. That's it, guys. Well done if you got up into the 50s like Sam did this game week. That is a really, really good score, which hopefully puts you back on the right trajectory from an FPL perspective, if I can say that word, put my teeth in. So if you got in the 50s, well done. Sam, what are we doing from an official FPL show or official FPL podcast perspective this week? What's going on?
I don't know, actually. I haven't checked that this week. We're not.
Good.
We aren't doing the show this week, but you will be able to see us next week and me again the week after. So I'm on back-to-back shows over the next couple of weeks on the official show and podcast. I don't know if one of us will be on this week, and we haven't had the October rotor out yet, so I'm not really sure, but we'll keep you up to date on our social channels.
All right, people are saying I've missed loads of super chats. I just got so into Southampton versus Wolves.
All my rant about Spurs.
Just so excited about Southampton versus Wolves. Ben Allen, thank you for the super chat. Took your advice, Lukaku out for St. Maximin. As I think over time, Ronaldo will score more points. Thoughts on Grealish in as another differential? Lukaku out, my friend, is very brave ahead of what I consider to be a sensational run of fixtures for Chelsea over the next five. There are going to be a lot of players, a lot of FPL managers bringing Lukaku in, Ben. So it's going to be a real tough one, that mate, to swallow. But Ronaldo is Ronaldo, as it keeps being said in the FPL community. And thoughts on Grealish as another differential? Well, yeah, we did discuss him when we discussed the Man City game. He was up there. He was getting chances and his heat maps looked pretty good. So at 8 million could be a reasonable differential for you. Have we missed any other super chats? Missed loads of super chats. Rohithe has been in with another super chat. Højbjerg and Skip equals stability. Ali and Ndombele plus wingers. So yeah, there's Rohithe agreeing with you, Sam, in terms of the Spurs setup.
Skip.
There we go. So listen, we will be tweeting.
See me in the dugout next weekend. I'll just go down there.
We'll be tweeting and sharing what we're doing with the official FPL show and podcast this week. I'm sure we are on one of them at the very least.
We will be,
you
sure.
Are looking forward to going to Spurs next weekend? Or is looking forward to, is that too strong a phrase? You're going to Spurs next weekend.
Yeah, I'm taking the baby one.
Okay, right.
Me and the little princess are off on a mummy-daughter
trip. I'm sure she'll be loving that,
she'll be delighted.
Looking forward to the Ollie Watkins hat trick.
Why have you said
go
that?
On. Go on. She'll be looking forward to the sausage rolls, no doubt about it.
I'm looking forward to a nice day out with my daughter. She's going to be a lucky charm. We have never lost when she's been to White Hart
Lane. That's true. She is true.
So this is the time.
There we go.
This is the moment.
This is the one.
It best be anyway. But yeah, so it'll be nice weekend from that perspective anyway.
Good. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family.
Can't be any worse.
It can't be any worse for Spurs. Surely it can't get any worse than
rocking.
It was today. It was absolutely tragic. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm going to go and watch the finale of the Ryder Cup, which
we're going to go and watch the finale of Vigil.
Well, you might be, Sam, but I'm going to go and see whether Europe can... Oh, do you know what? Literally as I said that, the Sky Sports thing flashed up on my iPad. Did you see that?
No, what did it say? We lost?
We've lost. Yeah, we've lost. So now I won't be watching
we're going to watch Vigil.
The finale of the Ryder Cup because the Europeans have had a very, very tough weekend. Guys, thanks for joining
us.
Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new. And we'll see you this time next week for another FPL Family. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.